Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, with a wild weekend, a wild win on Sunday, an improbable win on Sunday for the Rockies, a wild trade that's going to impact the NL West for years to come, previewing the Washington Nationals series. But first off, I hope you had a nice Father's Day. I watched the Rockies game with my dad. The improbable win I'll get to here in a second. Open some new packs of Top Series 2. Made some pancakes to start the day. It was cool on the broadcast on Rockies TV. Seen all the artwork the kids of the Rockies created for their dads. Tyler Kinley actually had his kids design his cleats, put markers all over it, signed it, and he wore it in the game. It was actually Kinley's 300th career game in the majors, got the ball from the final out, got it authenticated. That's an awesome piece of memorabilia for him to have for the rest of his life. Now, this Atlanta series, going into it, in my head, I thought, well, Atlanta has just dominated the Rockies like crazy. And I thought the Giants owned the Rockies even more so the last several years. But Atlanta had been even better. They were 20-6 going into this series, dating back to the start of 2022, or rather they are now 20-6, dating back to three seasons ago. Best winning percentage by any National League club against the Rockies. Atlanta, after this weekend, have still won 10 of their last 13 games against the Rockies at Truist Park since 2022. But somehow, improbably, the Rockies have a winning record at Truist Park. That's right. Since that building opened up in 2017, thanks to a string of the Rockies going 10-2 over 12 games from 2017 to 2021, they actually have a winning record there. They're one of only two teams to have a winning record on the road at Truist Park in Atlanta. Also, the Los Angeles Dodgers. So, Rockies in an elite class, and in a elite class for probably a bad reason, but look, they ended up winning the game 10-1, their most lopsided victory on the road in a while. And it was improbable, not even for the 10 runs. That you would think that's what made it improbable. No, it was the fact that they were being no-hit for 5-plus innings. Grant Holmes, who used to be a decent prospect with the Dodgers, had never struck out 10 in his career as a professional. Never got into double digits in 290 appearances in the minors, in the majors, and yet he struck out 15 against the Colorado Rockies. Ridiculous. And guess what? Doesn't give up a hit until the sixth inning, although arguably, I think it was the third inning, Ryan Ritter with a really nice bunt that caused a wild and errant throw, and two errors on the play for Grant Holmes, but I really thought it should have just been one, and it was after the infield hit. But regardless, and they might even change that. You can update a ruling decision 24 hours after that was made. And so since Grant Holmes ends up taking the loss in this game, I wouldn't be surprised if they go back and change that one, because I just thought that was a really solid bunt and required, you know, a solid play by the pitcher because the ball just had some English on it. Regardless, Grant Holmes, 15 strikeouts, and he takes the loss. That's the first time it's happened in the National League since Cliffley in 2011, ironically, against Atlanta. So in this game on Sunday, Colorado struck out 16 times, and yet they won 10-1. Since July 16th of last year, get this, it's the second time a team struck out 16 times or more and played a double digit runs in a game and won. Guess what? The Rockies have accounted for both. They also did it earlier this season. They got a loss, but they got double digit runs, 11 to be exact, when they struck out 17 times against the Washington Nationals. So this was just an improbable win. You had an improbable two RBI triple for Braxton Fulford. That was like a nub shot that had a pretty low expected batting average. He is now the 10th starting catcher in Rockies history with five RBI in the game. Does it in the ninth spot in the order on top of that. So this season, Colorado struck out 691 times so far. And all time, that puts them at 14th most after 71 games in MLB history. So 14th most. They were doing well for a while after switching over to Clint Hurdle, cutting down on their strikeouts for at least a couple games at a time. And then, of course, they would strike out 10, 12. This one definitely put them back first after 71 games, 743. So they're off by about 50. But number two, 728 by the 2023 Twins. So if this continues on the road, and I don't know that it will necessarily, the Nationals, I think, are a sneaky good team despite their win record. The Rockies will miss Mackenzie Gore, who is a double-digit strikeout machine. So that's going to help them kind of stave off that record. But the Rockies ultimately are not out of the woods in terms of striking out the most times in a season. The other big takeaway from Sunday's victory was Austin Gomber making his season debut. Had a no decision, in fact, had a no-hitter going into the fifth inning before he finally gave one up. He struck out four, walked one. And this was really important for him. I was worried a little bit that the Rockies had rushed him back, but perhaps this is just something new, and I'll talk about this tomorrow in terms of Shohei Ohtani. But it seems like a lot of teams are not exactly sending players out on multiple rehab starts. They're doing those things behind the scenes, live batting practice, simulated games, pitching at Arizona Complex League contests on the backfields, things of that nature, just not true rehab starts, because Gomber said it himself that it was probably going to take him a good five starts to get himself ramped up. And that was about a month ago. So actually maybe it was even less than that. So it just seems almost improbable. Like maybe he was even rushed back, but no, he must've been doing a lot of work on the sides that he wasn't really discussing. The Rockies weren't tipping their hand to, but nevertheless, he looked really solid. And that's a big boost for the Rockies rotation, which did end up taking a hit this weekend and did end up seeing Ryan Feltner go to the 60-day IL. So that was big for Gomber. It looked really strong. And he actually now has himself alongside Tyler Glass now in terms of pitchers with at least 15 innings against Atlanta since August of 2022. Gomber at 1.69 ERA, bested only by Glass now of the Dodgers, who's at 1.53. So it was the second longest hitless effort of Gomber's career. He took a no-no into the seventh inning in July of 2018 when he was with the Cardinals at Cincinnati. So Sunday, just a wild one, but nice for the Rockies to get out of Atlanta without yet another sweep. They didn't look good on Saturday. They looked just as bad at the plate through the first six innings, but really they looked that bad for all nine innings. Struck out 19 times on Saturday against Atlanta, the most ever for the Rockies in a nine-inning game. They already had a 17-whiff occurrence, that coming against the Washington Nationals. And for Atlanta, on the flip side, that was actually the most strikeouts they had ever recorded in a nine-inning game before. So, you know, Rockies just looking really rough on a day of somewhat, you know, reunions all around the Atlanta area. You had Chase Dolander returning to Georgia. He's an interesting cat because he spent most of his life playing baseball versus watching baseball and being a fan of baseball. I think a lot of players had a decent mix of the two. Me, for example, I had a decent mix of the two, but I wasn't playing that much baseball because I wasn't that good. So I leaned heavily on watching the game and being a fan of the game and learning the history of the game, something that when you're playing, you know, five, six games every weekend and then during the week as well on various travel ball teams, you don't necessarily follow that because you're doing your own thing. And you know, that's true of a lot of guys, but for Chase, he just didn't really watch a ton of baseball at all. So, you know, I think there's only a handful of games he even went to Truist Park or even before that Turner Field. But we had Kyle Farmer, who went to high school in the Atlanta area, only about 18 minutes away. Jordan Beck had himself a little contingent there that traveled in from Alabama. And it was good to see Chase have some success after his last two starts coming off the IL. He ended up getting a quality start, six innings pitched, gave up six hits to Atlanta, allowed four runs, but only three were earned, gave up one homer on 97 pitches. Also an important note that he gave up nine groundouts to only two flyouts. So that was positive for him, keeping the ball on the ground. And the homer that he ended up giving up, it was to a freak. It was to Ronald Acuna Jr. And not just to a freak. It was kind of a freak pitch. It was not a bad pitch. It was a decent amount above the top of the strike zone at 97.8 miles an hour. So that was just an elite player beating Chase. That's that. But that was the 13th long ball he's allowed this season, tied for 10th most in the majors and 4th most in the National League. But he's taken his lumps. And, you know, you'd rather Chase take those lumps in the majors than in the Pacific Coast League. That was something that Buddy said all spring, all throughout spring training, was that, you know, he just needs to get more experience. Last year, he made his professional debut. Think about that. 2023, he's pitching at the University of Tennessee, and it's a long spring season, and the Rockies ultimately end up shutting him down. So he did not even make his professional debut until last year. And then a year later, he's up in the majors. So he just needs more reps. And I think it's better for him to have those reps with the big league coaching staff and more coaches with the Rockies in the majors than down in the PCL, where you're going to take those lumps. They should just rename the league the Pacific Coast Lumps, because that's what you take there if you are a pitcher. So good for him. Good for Chase getting that second quality start of his career. Now, what is a quality start? I had someone reach out to me about this because I posted it on social media saying that wasn't a quality start. So here's the details on what is a quality start. It's something, first off, that Bill James created in the early 80s, because we started getting to a point in which guys could pitch really well and then still get a loss. Like back then, his case was more like, all right, well, what if you threw seven innings and you gave up only one run? That could be the only run that the other team needed, and you're gonna end up getting a loss. You should get something more than that. So he invented the quality start. And that is, you throw for at least six innings. That's the minimum. And that doesn't mean you pitch into the sixth inning and then get removed. You have to complete six innings. And then you allow three or less earned runs, not runs, because you can do your job, but your defense doesn't do their job. And so there are unearned runs. Only earned runs is what is important when it comes to quality starts. So six innings or more, three earned runs or less. And considering the fact that the Rockies made three errors on Saturday, back-to-back games, making three errors, second time that they've done that this season in back-to-back contests, ergo, you've got Chase Dolander with a quality start, is second in the bigs. And going back to Spencer Strider, he was great. You had Ryan Ritter return to the lineup on an unfortunate day. I'm sure he would have preferred to be in the lineup on Friday, but no, he comes back to the lineup after a day off on Friday. Comes back on Saturday, and Spencer Strider strikes out 13 in only six innings on top of that. How about that? No Jordan Beck in the lineup on Saturday. Strider does the 13 Ks in six innings on 87 pitches. First time striking out 13 since 2023. So that was before his Tommy John surgery. So, you know, good for him. Still on that comeback trail, the first year back after Tommy John can be up and down, but he was able to find his groove and becomes the fourth pitcher to ever strike out 13 or more against Colorado in multiple outings. Blake Snell has done it twice. Freddy Peralta has done it twice. And Hall of Famer Randy Johnson has done it now three times. Some other crazy stats about Strider against the Rockies. In his three career starts against Colorado, he's pitched to a 2-0 record with a 0.50 ERA. That's one earned run in 18 innings pitched, and that's 34 strikeouts. That is wild. Since the Rockies were established as an expansion club in 1993, Hall of Famer Randy Johnson, with 35 strikeouts, is the only pitcher with more strikeouts in their first three starts against the Rockies. So if you're listening closely or if you were just paying attention this weekend, that means you had Spencer Strider striking out 13 and Grant Holmes striking out 15 going in back-to-back games, right? It was the first time in Atlanta history you had 13 or more strikeouts in consecutive team games from the starting pitcher. They became the fifth duo in the divisional era. That's since 1969. In 1968 and before that, if you had the best record in the American League or the National League, boom, you immediately went to the World Series. But in the divisional era where you had the East and the West, well, now when you won each of those divisions, you faced off all the old heads from Sabre know what I'm talking about here. But for the new folks that are a little bit younger, it's helpful to know those things. So the fifth time in the divisional era since 1969 that you had Spencer Strider, Grant Holmes, 13-plus strikeouts in back-to-back days, two pitchers against the same opponent. Actually, it doesn't say that here if it's the same opponent. It could be different opponents. But you had Kevin Brown and Chan Ho Park doing it in 2000, Carlos Carrasco and Corey Kluber doing it with Cleveland in 2015, a pair of Nationals in Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg did it in 2017, and then most recently, Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole did it in 2019. Friday was a game worth forgetting because it was bad. 12-4 loss. The silver lining there was Herman Marquez was great. He had to settle for a no decision despite going five innings and allowing only one run. Third time this season, he's pitched as long and allowed as few runs. He actually established a season high, with seven strikeouts, his highest total since punching out eight in Los Angeles at the end of 2022, his final start in 2022. So much like Spencer Strider, getting the strikeouts back after having that Tommy John surgery. The offense was, it was good. It was fine early on in that game on Friday. You had the bases loaded in three of the first four innings. They netted four runs from that, which is fine. You had Ryan McMahon belting his ninth home run of the season in the first inning, a two-run shot to straightaway center field, had three hits, and, was really looking great. He had been playing a lot better. I think it was from June 6th to June 13th, a span of something like eight games. He had a .455 batting average, a .571 on base percentage, and a .955 slug. And then he struck out in each of his next seven plate appearances. Yes, that happened. And then what did he end up doing on Sunday after the Golden Sombrero on Saturday? He struck out two more times on Sunday, struck out in his final at-bat on Friday. He hit a home run. So that's baseball for you. So that was good for Rymack to do that. Bullpen, unfortunately, really coughed up that lead for the Rockies on Friday with Bird, three-run homer. Vodnik, three-run homer for his first time pitching at Truist Park, a ballpark that he had dreamed of debuting in when he was drafted and developed by Atlanta before coming over to the Rockies in 2023 as part of that Pierce Johnson trade. Defense was bad, as I mentioned earlier. Three errors. That was their sixth game of the year with three plus errors. They now have seven. So that's the most in MLB this season. And since the year 2000, so they have the most errors total, and they have the most three-error games. But since 2000, eight games with three or more errors is the most the Rockies have allowed. So they're already in somewhat rarefied air, and you'd probably not bet against, but bet for them having another three-error game. They actually had four errors on Friday. Tyra Estrada had his third error in 12 games on Friday. Keston Hira had two errors on one play. Michael Tolia promotion right around the corner. Here we are 2 days later. Still has yet to happen. And it was nice to see, obviously, if you're listening to this, you are a Rockies fan, so you are not as concerned with other teams. But it was good that Ronald Acuna Jr. is back because he is a superstar. He is one of the best players in the game. And, he had himself a nice weekend. And you just never want to see a guy with his talent kept out because of injuries. And he's already had two major ones, right? A pair of ACL injuries. And You throw in the fact that there was a pandemic season that limited him to 46 games in 2020. It's going to be interesting to see how his Hall of Fame case plays out. He's got a long way to go, first and foremost. But his counting stats just may never get terribly high. Like, I think he'll reach 300 homers and 1,000 RBI, but you know, a lot of guys do that. That doesn't mean you're Hall of Famer anymore. 400 homers and 1,200 RBI, that I don't know. So, you know, as of going into the weekend, he was at 171 homers and 428 RBI. So he's got a long way to go. But he's 27 years old. That's it. He's only 27. He's got a Rookie of the Year award. He's got an MVP. He won a World Series ring for 2021 with Atlanta. He didn't contribute that year's postseason because his season ended in July with his first ACL injury. But, you know, ultimately, would I bet on Acuña Jr. reaching Cooperstown? I would. I probably would bet that this next guy is going to make it to Cooperstown as well. The real question is, what hat is he going to wear? Because Rafael Devers is not a member of the Boston Red Sox anymore. He is now with the San Francisco Giants. The Red Sox, just minutes seemingly before the Giants and Dodgers were set to kick off for Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, Kyle Harrison, who was starting for the Giants, against the Dodgers. Harrison just started a game with the Giants this past week. So if you're at the ballpark and you saw that, that's Kyle Harrison's last start with the Giants because he was included in a 5-player deal that is still going to get buzzed about, you know, all this week for everything going on, not even just a player, but all of the different side stories and angles from this, whether, you know, Rafi Devers goes back to playing third base. Probably not once Matt Chapman comes back, but maybe now he'll be fine with playing first base for the Giants. So the Red Sox give up Rafael Devers, one of the best hitters in the game, and the remaining $200+ million remaining on his deal. And they get from the San Francisco Giants starting pitchers, well, really starting relief pitcher, Jordan Hicks, starter Kyle Harrison, outfield prospect selected 13th overall last year out of Florida State University, James Tibbs, and another prospect, Jose Bello. So the NOS gets crazier and crazier. Of the 16 contracts worth at least $300 million in Major League Baseball, six of them reside in the NOS. That's the most of any division. Ohtani, Betts, and Yamamoto for the Dodgers, Machado, Tatis for the Padres, and now Rafi Devers for the Giants. Diamondbacks have three players making over $100 million, including one making $200 million, that being Corbin Burnes, while the Rockies have only one $100 million contract, and it is Chris Bryant. We'll leave it at that. How about this Washington series getting started today on Monday, June 16th? Carson Palmquist is going to make the start in place of Kyle Freeland, who did hit the IL with lower back stiffness, and manager Warren Schaefer is hoping that he is back after the minimal amount of time on the IL. So this goes retroactive to June 12th. So you tack on the 15 days. June 26th would be the 15th day, which means June 27th is when he can make his earliest start. That would be at Milwaukee, so he will miss the Diamondbacks-Dodgers series. Probably would have lined up to start on Saturday against the Diamondbacks and possibly could have started the getaway day against the Dodgers if Colorado skipped a starter since there was a day off on Monday, but that will not happen. Gomber activated from the IL. Feltner moved to the 60-day IL, was initially placed on the IL at the end of April with those back spasms. And I can vaguely recall hearing that it was, you know, going to be a short timeout, but no, he is now on the 60-day IL as, I mean, we're essentially 60 days away from his last start. Zach Agnos went down to AAA, although he's going to be working on some things down at the facility at Salt River Fields. And then Carson Palmquist promoted to make that 4:45 start against the Nationals. This is a nice series. This is a rhythmic series. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 4:45 p.m., and then Thursday, 11:05 baseball brunch. So Monday, Palmquist versus righty Jake Irvin. Tuesday, Antonio Senzatella versus Mike Soroka. Wednesday, you've got Herman Marquez versus lefty Mitchell Parker. And then Thursday at 11:05 a.m., Chase Dolander against Trevor Williams. Rockies are actually 62-54 in the District of Columbia. So a winning record at Nationals. That's pretty good. They've never been swept in a four-game series on the road against the Nats. They were only swept once. That was a three-game set in 2014. So, you know, perhaps the Rockies can continue this better string of play. I think they're now 5-7 over their last 12 games. And you say, well, yeah, sure, you're dating that back to the sweep with the Marlins. Yeah, a lot of times that you look back and you say, during this span of games, you're cherry-picking those things. But for a team in which was just looking totally listless in every way possible, except the bullpen, except what at times can feel like the least important part, at times at least, right? Especially if you have a starter dealing, you can get by with a mediocre bullpen. Everything else was not clicking. And now there's certain areas of this team that are really starting to click, and Warren Schaefer is getting more out of less in a lot of different ways. And there are players playing better than the back of their baseball card, playing better than maybe you had anticipated at the beginning of the year. So we'll see what happens now, because after this week, you've got the Diamondbacks coming this weekend and then the Dodgers for a three-game set. It's just not letting up for the Rockies anytime soon. And I hope you don't let up on me. Let me know. If there's something I'm not doing well or something you want more of, you can reach directly at me on social media, because everything's open. I'm an open book in that way. So if you got a question, I got an answer for you, or I'll try to find that answer. Let me know how you feel. You can do that at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. You can do that on YouTube at Rockies Insider, or at The Rockies Insider is the proper handle, youtube.com/@TheRockiesInsider. Or you can just straight up leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, anywhere you might listen to this, because guess what? That helps me out in a really, really good way. And even if you don't give me a great review, even if you're like, this is maybe more of a 4-star or a 3-star, that's fine. That let me know, because then I can improve upon that. And then maybe you change your rating and you bump that up. But leave a review, because that can go a really long way. Appreciate you dropping by. Appreciate that momentum. But that kind of momentum, as great as it is, can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I will talk to you tomorrow.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.